This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين وأفضل الصلاة وأزكى التسليم على مبعوث رحمة العالمين نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين. Thank you for joining us in the Akhlaq class. Today, inshallah, we'll continue talking about the relationship between the servant and his master, the relationship between the slave and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We mentioned a few things last week, and today we're continuing by mentioning how could a Muslim be a true servant to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now, the more you are servant to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the more honored you are. Because whether you like it or not, you are the slave of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. There is no escape, whether you admit that or not. So you better agree on this, and you better submit to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, so you will be rewarded and you will be honored. When Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in a status of respect and in a status of honor, he said, exalted is he who took his servant in a journey in the night. He did not say who took his prophet or messenger. Although the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was a messenger and was a prophet, he said his servant. Servitude to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the best thing you could do. And it is the purpose of your creation. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created you to worship Him. وَمَا خَلَقْتُ الْجِنَّ وَالْإِنسَ إِلَّا لِيَعْبُدُونَ. Now, that's why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala commanded us to do obligatory ibadat. And we know some of them are done on daily basis. Some of them are done on weekly basis. Some of them are done once a year. Some of them are done once in a lifetime. Prayer, every day you have to pray 5 times a day. Once a week you pray Al-Jum'ah. Once a year you pray Al-Eid, the 2 Eid prayers. You fast Ramadan once, 1 month in the year. And you perform Hajj once in a lifetime. Now, what is about these obligatory ibadat? Many people do them, or actually most of the Muslims, alhamdulillah, they do it. The difference between the real servant and the one who is not truly submitting to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is how you do it. The true servant, he loves to perform the ibadah. He loves to fast. He forgets about the hardships that are attached to this ibadah. When you are fasting, yes, you are hungry, you are thirsty, but you don't think about that. Aisha radiallahu anha, she was fasting when a beggar knocked on the door. And she gave her what she has. Then, time for breakfast came. So, the servant of Aisha radiallahu anha, she told her, we don't have any food. She said, why didn't you remind me? I could have left something for us. Aisha radiallahu anha was not thinking of the breakfast time, but when we fast, we are always waiting. How many hours left? The same thing with prayer. Oh, alhamdulillah, I prayed. The Prophet ﷺ said, جُعِلَتْ قُرَّةْ عَيْنِي فِي الصَّلَةِ. The comfort for my eye, the joy of my eye in prayer. So that's how the true servant. The true servant does not look at the ibadah as a tax he has to pay or as a punishment that he wants to relieve himself from it. He wants always to be in that situation, in the ibadah to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That's why in Yawm al-Qiyamah, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will reward people, the people who did the ibadah with sincerity, they will get more reward than those who did it like they had to do it. They say there are people who deal with Allah like merchants, like business people. If I did this, that's what I will get, reward. And there are people who do the ibadah like slaves. Now, everybody is doing the ibadah. Like slaves means he has to do it. Otherwise, he will be punished. That's why. And there are people who do the ibadah because they enjoy it. And they like to do the ibadah. The Prophet ﷺ mentioned one of the types that will be shaded, given the shade on the Day of Judgment. وَرَجُلٌ قَلْبُهُ مُعَلَّقٌ بِالْمَسَاجِدِ. So his heart is attached to the masjid. That means he likes to do the ibadah. So prayer, fasting, and The true servant reads the Quran. Now let me ask you this, and let's be realistic. How much time do you give the Quran? Every day? 20 minutes? I believe that's good, really. In our time, if you give every day 20 minutes to the Quran, that's really good. Because unfortunately, there are many people who don't even give that time on a weekly basis. They can read the newspapers, they can watch TV, they can be online for hours chatting or doing whatever they want, but they don't read Quran on a daily basis. I mean, how can you say that you are a good servant to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala while you don't read the Quran? That was the quality of the true and the sincere pious predecessors. That was the quality of the companions of the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam. In the night you go and you hear the sound, just like the bees, because they were reading the Quran and they were praying. Nowadays, unfortunately, you hear whether TV or nothing, sleeping. Now, one important thing about the ibadah, which I really like all students to keep it in mind always, you give priority to the obligatory ibadah. That has precedence. Which is better, to give in charity or to pay the zakah? Which is better, to fast one day of Ramadan or to fast one day tatawwu, optional fasting? Which is better, to perform the Hajj, which you are obliged to do, or to perform the Hajj optionally? Always the obligatory ibadah is better. And this is mentioned in the divine narrative from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَمَا تَقَرَّبَ إِلَيَّ عَبْدِي بِشَيْءٍ أَحَبَّ إِلَيَّ مِمَّ افْتَرَطْتُهُ عَلَيْهِ. And my servant will not come close to me with anything more beloved or more lovelier to me than what I made obligatory on him. That's what Allah says. If you want to come close to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you start with the ibadah, with the obligatories. This has the priority. Some people, even some students of knowledge, they don't keep this fact in mind. Always remember this. You give priority to the obligatory ibadah. After you perfect your obligatory ibadah, then you move to the optional ibadah. Always the obligatory ibadah has precedence. Now you may say, well, alhamdulillah, I'm praying 5 times a day. No, that's not enough. When do you pray them? Perfect them. When do you pray them? Do you pray them on time in the masjid? Do you pray with khushu'? That's how you perfect the ibadah. The same thing with Ramadan, the same thing with the zakah, the same thing with the hajj. Then you move to the optional. That does not mean you don't do any sunnah before or after. No, you do it. But keep attention always to the obligatory ibadah. These are few qualities for the Muslim with his Lord, with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And honestly, I mean, sometimes you find people, alhamdulillah, they are sincere. And they want to help. And they want to help others. But in order for you to help others, you start with yourself. How can you bring people close to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala while you yourself, you're not close to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? You find people spending hours and hours. What are you doing? Oh, I'm doing da'wah. MashaAllah, that's good. But you yourself, you need da'wah. That does not mean you don't do da'wah. Give yourself priority. Improve yourself. Because any time you spend on yourself, that will help and it will make it easier for you in the future. Let's say you stay in the night talking to a non-Muslim about the ibadah, about Islam, and consequently you missed subh prayer. Then next day, another thing, you did something else, you were writing or you were reading a book. MashaAllah, reading book, it's seeking knowledge. That's good, but not at the expense of the obligatory ibadah. Perfect your ibadat first, perfect yourself, and then move to others. The problem, why people do this? Because it's easier. It's easier for me to tell you That's wrong. But I don't watch myself because it's always difficult. I don't want to do anything. Everybody likes to sit down and relax and comment on others and ask them to do and give them orders. But to do it ourselves, that is difficult. That's why many people, they forget about themselves and they move to others. So you need first to start within yourself. Perfect the ibadat, especially the obligatory ibadat, and then move forward. If you check your time, how much time do you spend on others? And how much time do you spend on your personal development? You will find that you are spending lots of time with others, and that's okay, but not at the expense of improving yourself. And I noticed some people, they do that. So anyway, this is very important. Keep always in mind that the obligatory ibadat are the most important ones. That's why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made them obligatory. And then, when you perfect these ibadat, you move forward to the optional ibadah. You don't give in charity while you did not pay the zakah. You don't give in charity while you have a debt. You should pay. First you pay the debt, because charity you can, you have the option. But the debt you have to pay it. Okay, now we are moving to another aspect, which is the akhlaq with ourselves. How we should act within ourselves. How we should look like as Muslims. Now, it is divided to three parts. Let's divide it to three parts. Body, mind, and soul. That's yourself. You're composed of body and soul in general, and the mind is separated. Your body. Now, the first thing you need to know that you don't own your body. So when you hear someone saying, I'm free, I do whatever I want, that's incorrect. You are free to an extent. That means you cannot cut your finger. You cannot lose your life optionally. Say, I want to terminate my life. That's it. You cannot do that. Allah created you and Allah will cause you to die. Allah will take your life. So your body is only a trust. Just like someone gave you something and he told you, please keep it. So the better you keep your body, the more reward you will get from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So how are you doing with your body? Are you keeping this body good, or you are abusing your body? First of all, as human beings, we need food to survive. And food is essential. Food and drink. They say the maximum 3 days, the average, without drink you can live without water. And 40 days without food. But on the other hand, how much do you fill your body with food? Because always, too much is a negative thing. At the time of the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he said, "Nahnu qawmun la na'kulu hatta najud." We don't eat until we are hungry. And when we eat, وَإِذَا أَكَلْنَا لَا نَشْبَعْ. When we eat, we don't fill our stomachs. And Aisha radiallahu anha, she said, the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam, when he died, he never filled his stomach. مَا شَبِعَ مِنْ خُبْزِ الشَّعِيرِ. The Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Why didn't he do that? He had the ability. It's always better to keep some space. Because once your stomach is full, you need to digest this food. And when you digest, the whole body is working. So your mind stops from thinking. You become lazy. And the Messenger ﷺ said, مَا مَلَأَ آدَمِيٌ وِعَاءً شَرًّا مِنْ بَطْنِ. The worst part that you will fill is your stomach. That's what the Messenger ﷺ said. مَا مَلَأَ آدَمِيٌ وِعَاءً شَرًّا مِنْ بَطْنِ. All what you see nowadays, what they are people, actually it's not Islamic. And they wonder, I mean, why you are looking at us? They eat and then they eat, and then they eat, and then they eat. What is this? That's not the sunnah of the Messenger صلى الله عليه وسلم. Even in food and drinks, the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم gave us the sunnah. In the Quran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَكُلُوا وَاشْرَبُوا. Eat and drink, but وَلَا تُسْرِفُوا. Do not go beyond the limits. Do not transgress. Do not exaggerate in eating and drinking. People are dying, starving to death in Africa and some poor countries. And people are dying because of excessiveness in food and drink. If you read the biographies of the scholars, they tell you themselves that we did not eat that much. A group of the soldiers of the companions of the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam, they went and every day their food for the entire day was one date for the entire day. I mean, let's ask ourselves this question: what is enough for us to survive? Food and drink.
20% of what we eat according.
20%. Let's say we want over than what we survive, something that is sufficient. 50%. Try to reduce yourself what you eat, 50%, and see what will happen. You will sleep more. You will not need to sleep, but when you sleep, you will rest more. You will be more active in the morning. Why people wake up very lazy? Because they filled their bodies and they slept. And their bodies is working and working and it did not rest. So there is no time to rest. They say statistically, the average American is in contact with food 10 times a day. 10 times. And that's true. In the morning, you drink coffee or whatever you drink. Then you have your breakfast. And then snack, short snack. And then before lunch, you may eat something. And then your lunch. And then comes the fruits or salad, whatever. And then in the evening, 10 times. That's wrong. This is wrong. So as I told you, honestly, I expect from the students to improve their habits of food and drink. It is the sunnah of the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam. This is one thing. The other thing, eat healthy food. This is, your body is amana, as I said. There is a trust. And the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, khayrukum, the best of you, the ones who lives long and act and have good actions. مَنْ طَالَ عُمْرُهُ وَحَسُنَ عَمَلُهُ. That's the best of the ummah, of the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The one who lives long life, but with good actions. How can you... So, when we ask, is it recommended in Islam to extend your life? Yes, if you can. If you can. You cannot destroy your body. Actually, when you eat, your intention should be to please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to strengthen your body for the ibadah. Again, why Allah created us? To worship Him. Do you intend before you eat that I am eating this food to help myself, worshipping Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala so He will be pleased with me? Do you do that? That should be your intention. Now you eat every day. If you change your intention, you will be rewarded for all what you eat. Instead of just eating because you need to eat, you are eating to worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You will eat anyway. That should be your intention. So before you eat, ask yourself, this food will help you or will destroy you? There are many. Now, some people, they are concerned about what is halal and what is haram. And of course, that's the first thing. The first step is to avoid what is haram. Intoxications, pork, and all these things. People ask about dhabiha and non-dhabiha. Yes, that's first. Then comes another thing. Because why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forbade us from eating the pork?
Because it harms us.
It harms you. Whether it harms your body, it harms your actions. It's not good. Then another thing. What is healthier for you? What is better for you to eat? Look at what we drink and what we eat. Just take a look at the ingredients and see how many things are added. Artificial flavor, artificial color, citric acids. I mean, hundreds of things. No wonder people having cancers and problems, many diseases that they were not existed at the time of the Messenger of Allah or later on. Why? Because they need all these to put it, to keep the product valid. If it's a good product, it will be valid for some time. On the other hand, look at like the fruits. Usually the cover of the fruit is very healthy, except here, because it's all waxed. They put wax on it. If you leave it in your fridge, refrigerator for like 2 months, it will be the same. That's why you should wash it to remove the many layers, wax, and I don't know, to preserve it. Eat healthy food. You improve your body, you strengthen your body, and you please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because that's your intention. When you are eating, you want to please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. How about the health of your body, like exercise? Do you do exercise? Do you keep your body healthy? Because that's, again, another objective. The better, the stronger you are, the better you are. Because you are able to worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now, imagine yourself 70 years old. You are unable to stand up. How would you do the ibadah, prayer? It will be difficult. When it's difficult, you are thinking of the struggle that you are having. But when you are strong, you are enjoying the ibadah. So keep yourself like that. Why non-Muslims exercise and we don't exercise? At the time of the Messenger, they did not have gyms. But they had something better. They had the jihad. They went to war. They used to exercise. Even when there is no jihad, they used to exercise. Horseback riding, archery, swimming, many things they used to do. So the Muslim should be active. This will help you worshipping Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. On the other hand also, do not be obsessed by what people are doing nowadays, especially women. I mean, I read some studies about plastic surgeries. It is horrible. Americans paid, in the year 2005, $12.4 billion. $12.4 billion on plastic surgeries. For what?
Change Allah's creation.
That's what they did. And by the way, it will not change. Your body is your body. That's how Allah created you. You cannot change what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Yes, if there is a burn, if there is abdominal thing, you can. And this is another issue. It's fiqh issue. But here in akhlaq, you should be pleased. Many people, they are short and they want, or many people, they are thin and they want to eat food to become fat. And many people, they are fat and they want to become slim. I mean, it's crazy, subhanAllah. The Muslim should be happy with how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created him. You improve yourself, you eat healthy food, you exercise, you keep your health, and you worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Again, your body is amana. Allah will ask you about your body. What did you do with your hand? Did you abuse people with it? If Allah gave you strength, does that mean you abuse others? You use it against them, or you use it to help them? Your eyes, what did you do with it? Did you look to the haram? Your ears, your tongue. All these things, again, if each one of them we spend time, we will not finish. It's a long way. Attached to the issue of the body, habits of sleeping. How do you sleep? When do you sleep? Many people complain about Qiyam al-Layl. If you cannot make it for Qiyam al-Layl, then ask yourself, when did you sleep? And before that, what did you do in the day?
Qiyam al-layl is ni'mah. It's a favor from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And Allah will not give it for people who don't deserve it. If you deserve it, you'll be able to do it. That's how scholars looked at it. One of the pious predecessors, he said, I did istighaba. I did backbiting once, and I was forbidden Qiyam al-layl for 6 months. Because of that. He knew that he was prevented from Qiyam al-layl because of a sin he did. Nowadays, people complain. Again, what did you do in the day? Did you disobey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? You slept late? The Messenger ﷺ said, La samara ba'da Aisha. There should be no talking after Aisha. Except for three things. Whether you have knowledge, you are seeking knowledge, that's permissible. Or you are joining the kinship and you could not do it except at that time. Or you are praying, you are in ibadah. You are in ibadah. These are the three exceptions. Nowadays, look at people. We finish Isha 10:20 maximum. From 10:20 until 1 a.m., what are you doing? Some people would say, oh, I cannot sleep. No, you can. Your body is just like the clay. You can shape it the way you want. Maybe first day, first month, you cannot. But then, trust me, you will be able to do it. Sleep early. Once you sleep early, you will wake up early. And you are able to do Qiyam al-layl. People complain, I did not have a good sleep last night. Did you read the adhkar? Did you pray on the right side as the Messenger ﷺ prayed on his right side? All these things count. Moving to the second part. Our minds. And that's very important part. The true Muslim has critical thinking. This issue, unfortunately, it was not, I did not notice that it is given enough time. In our lectures, in our lessons, there should be more talk about this thing, critical thinking. In the Quran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala invited us many times to think thoroughly, deeply, to ponder, to reflect. Why? Because Allah wants from us, look at Him. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants from us to reflect. Once you think, you will be able to do it. Our actions are reflections of our thoughts and feelings. Which means the Muslim should be intelligent. Like, do not do the thing and then think of why this happened. Nowadays, Muslims are fought from many people. Why don't you go back to the history and see how it happened? Look at the people in their businesses. How they think critically. They made studies. They make everything. Feedback, customer service, and profit. Why this product did not work? Why they do that? They want more money. You should work harder because you want hasanat from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It's more expensive than money. So think before you do something. Would this help you or not? What is the best for me? What is the best for Muslims? In the Quran, it is full of commands, orders, invitations to think. Why you are doing this? Don't just say, others are doing it. We saw people, that was the excuse of the kuffar. We saw people doing it, so we did it. Our parents are doing it. Don't do that. This helps even in the ibadah, when you follow the opinion. Does it have an evidence? Here it has an evidence or not? All these things are helpful. Critical thinking is very important for the Muslim. Don't just take things for granted. Think. Rethink again. The true Muslim seeks knowledge. Why? Seeking knowledge is the way for you to worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Remember the story of Ibrahim alayhi salam, Rabbana wa arina manasikana. Show us our manasik. Allah commanded you to worship Him. How you will worship Him? You need knowledge. You will worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala through the knowledge you had. Knowledge here, we have science and we have knowledge. Knowledge is the religious knowledge. Science is the worldly science. And both of them are required. You need the knowledge to worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to please Him, to enter paradise. And you need science as well to live in this life and also to enter paradise. And look at Muslims nowadays. Alhamdulillah, some of them, they are scientists. They are pioneers in their fields. But many of them are not. Why you accept to let others surpass you? Why don't you be the best in your field? You sell books, why don't you be the best bookseller? You are technician, why aren't you the best technician? That's how you should, because that's the sunnah. The Messenger ﷺ said, إِنَّ اللَّهُ يُحِبُّ مِنْ أَحَدِكُمْ إِذَا عَمِلَ عَمَلًا أَنْ يُتْقِنَهُ. Allah loves if one of you did something to do it perfectly. You should be ambitious. Do not just be pleased with the minimum. That's the Muslim, the true Muslim. He's ambitious. And he does his job perfectly. He seeks knowledge. Look at Abdullah ibn Mas'ud radiallahu anhu. He said, I don't know anyone who has more knowledge in the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala than me. And if I knew that there is someone, I would go to him as long as I could reach him. That's what Abdullah ibn Mas'ud radiallahu anhu did. Jabir ibn Abdullah radiallahu anhu, for one hadith, he traveled 1 month. Why? Because they knew what's the value of knowledge. Again, seeking knowledge is not for the sake of knowledge itself, but to please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to use this knowledge to please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That's why you seek knowledge. So the Muslim seeks knowledge and he is skillful. People, if there are 10 people, 2 of them are Muslims and the rest are non-Muslims, and they wanted the job, they should go to the Muslims. Islam should be a motive for you to perfect your job. Should not be an excuse for you to do the job in lower quality. Now you go, oh, he's my brother. He's Muslim, so I will pay him less. You should pay him more because he's Muslim. Oh, you know, he's Muslim, his job is not that good. Because you are a Muslim, you should do your job better. Many times, wallahi, Islam is, we are liable on Islam. We take advantage of Islam. Now, moving to the soul. And our soul is connected to the mind. Your heart, your mind, they are both together. The Prophet ﷺ said, Al-Muslim la yaghil. La yaghul wa qalbuhu la yaghil. The Muslim does not steal and his heart does not carry hatred. This person, 10 years ago he did this thing. And you don't forget it. The Muslim does not do that. The Muslim has a pure heart. What do you mean by that? If something wrong happened, you forgive, you could not forgive. You did the thing as they did it to you and that's it. Get over it. Forget it. Life is very fast. It's moving on. So you need to move on. Do not live in the past. One important thing about your soul is the food. Just like we said about the food of the body, you need nutrition for your soul. And that's by the worship of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And I will focus on the remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because nowadays, we talk to each other. We do many things, but we do little of the dhikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Do you do every day subhanallah bihamdi 100 times? Do you do that? How much time does it take from you to say subhanallah bihamdi 100 times? 2.5-3 minutes max. Do you know what you will get when you say this? Subhanallah bihamdi. The Prophet ﷺ said, whoever said Subhanallah bihamdi in the morning and in the evening 100 times, his sins will be forgiven, even if they were like as much as the foam of the sea. Why don't we do it? We are not feeling or appreciating the value and the reward that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is preparing for us. Do you read all the adhkar after the subh prayer and after the maghrib prayer? We have time to talk on phone. They give you 600 minutes every month and divide this, or 800 minutes, divide this on every day and look, 15 to 20 minutes. You have, and you exceed that number. But when it comes to the dhikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, it is less. And ironically, all the inventions, most of them, for the last century, they are time-saving devices. But where is the time that we're saving? Where is the time that we're saving? We have to start within ourselves. As I told you, if you, as a student of knowledge, you don't appreciate these things, you don't start with yourself, don't expect from others to improve. You need to start within yourself. The remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the key. It assures your heart. It elevates your rank. It keeps your body, your soul fresh. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, maintain saying la ilaha illallah. أكثر من ذكر الله لا يزال لسانك رطبا بذكر الله. In paradise, the believers will be inspired to remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, just like we are inspired in this life to breathe. You breathe every second, and in paradise you mention Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I guarantee you, if you mention Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala always, you will not sin. You are remembering Allah, and I say by that the true remembrance. When your heart is present, it's not only your tongue, but also your heart. You say Astaghfirullah quickly just to finish it, but you are not thinking, what does it mean, Astaghfirullah? I ask Allah's forgiveness. Who used to remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala more? We or the previous generations? Previous generations. They did not have cars to save their time. They did not have phones to save them trips. They did not have copy machines, printers. We have all these things. They did not have many books, Qur'ans, printed and ready. So we have to blame ourselves. We are responsible for this. Okay. The last thing I like to talk about, which is really important, after the body, the soul and the mind, is your appearance. Because that's very important for the Muslim. How do you look like? I don't mean by this how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created you. What I mean by this, how others look at you. Are you dressed properly? That does not mean you purchase very expensive clothes, but cleanliness. Are you clean or not? If someone entered your house, do they smell something good or not? If you sit next to someone, do you wear perfume or not? And this is especially for the brothers. We know the sisters, they cannot wear perfume except in their houses. Prophet ﷺ forbade women from wearing perfume and going outside because there is fitna. The Prophet ﷺ, he used to use the siwak lots of times. Why? He did not want any bad smell to come from his mouth. Do you remember someone who stinks? You could remember that, right? But you may forget someone who smells good, because people, that's how they are. But if it happened 10 years ago, someone had very bad smell, you will keep remembering it. So you need to look good. You need to be dressed properly. You need to spend some time on yourself. Again, I'm not saying you should be obsessed. Now, the makeup companies and the hair coloring companies, they are making millions of dollars, right? But as a Muslim, it doesn't take that much. But you should spend some time on it. The Prophet ﷺ used to use siwak, used to wear perfume. He did not have tens of types of clothes. He had only few. But he kept them, he maintained them, and they were clean. That's how the Muslim should be. You look good, your hair is calm. The Messenger ﷺ once entered the masjid and he saw a man coming in not a good looking. So he asked him, did Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give you some money? The man said yes. Prophet ﷺ told him, what money do you have? He said, all types. I have sheep, I have camels. So the Prophet ﷺ said, then let this blessing from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala be shown on yourself, on your appearance. Because again, if people looked at you and they saw something wrong, they will not accept anything from you. Imagine if you have a bad smelling and you came to the masjid and you wanted to pray to your next to your brother. He will not like you to pray next to him. That's why the Messenger ﷺ forbade those who eat garlic or onion from coming to the masjid. It harms people. So you need to look good. You need to spend some time on cleanliness. This is something some Muslims are ignoring totally. Other Muslims, they are spending more time on it. So you find some of the sisters, they sit before the mirror for 3-4 hours. Almost daily, almost. This happens, wallahi, it happens. And then what? That would not change anything. It may change 1%. Trust yourself. Be confident. Okay. I will stop here, inshallah. Is there any question? Yes. Yeah. Subhanallah bihamdi. If you say it after subh prayer in the morning 100 times and at the sunset 100 times, your sins will be forgiven. And no one on the day of judgment will come with better deeds than you, except the one who worked harder and did the same like you. Means he said subhanallah bihamdi. Allah will inspire them, so they will be remembering Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. يُلْهِمُهُمُ الذِّكْرِ كَمَا يُلْهِمُهُمُ النَّفَسِ. So they will be able to remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala every second, just like they breathe every second. Yes?
Fifth of Lurgan says, when there is a hadith, like the one about the form of the seed,
yeah,
or the one who upholds 12 sunnah will get a house in Jannah, does that mean it applies to you every time you do it, or you have to do it every day for a lifetime to get the reward that is mentioned?
Yes, when the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam mentions a reward like the 12 rak'ah or subhanallah bihamdi, that means you should do it on a regular basis. It's not only one time. Otherwise, I do it one day and then I abandon it. What counts is what you do on a regular basis. Now, if you missed it one day, that's okay, but you are doing this regularly. So you have to do it, maintain doing it. Because it's easy. I mean, it's very easy for someone to fast one day. It's very easy to someone to pray one night for 3 hours. It may be difficult, but it could be done. But can you do that on a daily basis? That's what counts. Any other question?
That the wisdom of the prohibition of pork is because it is harmful or unhealthy. I always hear this, but I've never seen any proof for this. Is there any proof?
The wisdom of prohibiting the pork, yes, there is a proof for it. And they spoke about, ask any doctor. When a woman is pregnant, they tell her, do not eat pork and do not drink alcohol. This is one thing. There is a worm,
yeah,
in the body, it comes in the body because of the pork. That's proved. That's one thing. As I said, it's not the only wisdom. That's what we know. Maybe there are things we don't know. Also, it reflects on your actions. The pork, they say one of the things that it is common for this animal, that it doesn't have dignity, which means if female pork and male pork, they fornicate with others, the male will not do anything. It's okay. That's what they say. There is a study about the effects of food on your actions. They did it in prisons, and they found out that when they give them better food, healthy food, their actions are better. That's proven. But you need to read more and you need to ask more. Any other question? We'll stop here, inshallah. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah.